Our second reading, Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah delivered unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Yehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all the words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Yehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Yehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now, the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Yehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, till all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not." Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Really, there are only a couple of things for us to sort out here. We have to remember that the prophecy of Jeremiah is not written chronologically. So when we hear this pronouncement of Jeremiah here, because we've read chapters 1 through 35, we might be inclined to think, well, Jeremiah's already said that. Why does that surprise Jehoiakim? Look at what it says. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now, this is very early on in the tenure. Remember that Jehoiakim was the king that was put in place, the son of Josiah, right after him. His name was originally Eliakim, and he reigned after Pharaoh Necho had killed Josiah in battle. Necho, because he killed the king, set up Eliakim on the throne, and then changed his name to Jehoiakim. Okay, so he is Necho's vassal, if you will. Now, he's a wicked king. They've turned away from the Lord already early on in his reign, although he reigned for something like 12 years or something like that. And he is taken out and he dies without remorse. That is remorse on the part of those who take him out. He dies the death of the covenant breaker, because that is indeed what he is. Okay, so Jeremiah is already in prison. He's shut up. And so he calls Baruch to him and he says, "Write what I tell you." And he writes this book. It is the revelation from God. It is the word of Jeremiah. And it might correspond to the earlier chapters of the book of Jeremiah. It's hard to know that dogmatically, but I'm inclined to think that because it writes against Jerusalem, Judah, and other nations, that it's like the earlier portion of Jeremiah. And so here we have then this book that is written from the mouth of Jeremiah, but it is the word of God. It is the inspired prophet's account, his prediction of what is to take place. All right, so he tells Baruch, here we are in the ninth month, and the ninth month has to do with a fast because of a first wave of captivity that took place. Daniel is already gone. Okay. And so here you have then people coming into Jerusalem to fast on the ninth month. Jeremiah says, let's take advantage of that. Stand in the ways and in the house of the Lord and read all of these words before all of the people that are coming in. There's an application to be made there. The word of God is made to be published. The word of God is made to be proclaimed. It is not made to be hidden. It is made to be spoken. So, when you are about your day, have a ready profession of Scripture upon your lips. Think, read, memorize, eat, and drink Scripture in such a way that it naturally flows out in your conversation. Okay, that's the first point then. Second point is, Baruch does exactly what Jeremiah tells him, and he enters into the Lord's house. He begins reading, and these scribes that are also nobles or princes of the people, they hear what is being said, and they tell Baruch, maybe you ought not to be saying that. This is not the proclamation that we expect. We expect deliverance. You remember a few chapters back when Zedekiah says, go get Jeremiah and have him ask what the word of the Lord is. See if the Lord will be gracious according to all his mighty works that he's always done for Israel. Well, they're thinking that this is not exactly the right thing that Baruch ought to be doing. And so they bring him in. He gets partway through it. They bring him into a private council with them. And he says, read it. They say to him, read it. And so he reads it. And when he's done, they look at one another and they're shocked. This is what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah really said this, that the Lord is not going to spare, that he's going to bring Jerusalem down. We're not going to be delivered. No, no. And so they said, well, the king surely will hear of this matter. Dun, dun, dun. Right. So they take the scroll then and they bring it in before the king. And the king is warming himself in his winter house. He's got a fire before him, and they start to read what is written. And the king gets it, you know, maybe just a few pages in and can't take it anymore. And so he's got a knife in his hand, and he takes it and he cuts it up into pieces and he burns it in the fire. Now, we might be pretty hard on Jehoiakim here. He burned it in the fire. He took God's word and he cut it up into pieces and burn it in the fire. Jehoiakim is not the first, nor will he be the last, to cut up the word of God into pieces and to throw it in the fire. Right? We're all tempted to do that in one way or another. We're all tempted to do that in emphasizing one portion of Scripture over another, one doctrine over another, instead of the whole counsel of God. Here we are today talking about Presbyterianism. We recognize that that's fairly rare. Why is it rare? Well, because we don't teach all of the Bible. We teach what we think are the essentials of the Bible. And in doing that, are we not, in some sense at least, ignoring large places and blocks of Scripture, cutting the Word of God up? There are theological systems that purposely cut the Word of God up and say that it doesn't belong in the New Testament church. The Old Testament doesn't really belong there. The law of God doesn't belong there. And other things don't belong there. Whereas we believe that every bit of the Word of God has usefulness and ought to be heard. We've preached a series here, not to tout ourselves, but to show that what we ought to be thinking is that we can preach a sermon series on the vestments of the high priest and see Christ in them. And we should be doing exactly those kinds of things and more. And certainly we have no one church does this adequately. So here we have then, he doesn't really like what the Word of God has to say to him, and so he puts it away. He does what he thinks is to destroy it. It'll never be constructed again, and ooh, is he in for a surprise. Because the Word of God, my dear brothers and sisters, as the psalmist tells us, is forever settled in heaven. It is preserved by the God of heaven, and not one jot or tittle will ever pass away from it. And so with regard to the doctrine of Scripture preservation, when we teach that doctrine, when we think on that doctrine, very often we find ourselves in Jeremiah chapter 36, where we hear then that what the Lord did for the people of God in that day, when there are some that would have destroyed the Bible. And by the way, that's not the only time in history where people have had designs on destroying the Bible. What the Lord does is he prevents his Bible from being destroyed. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. The word which proceed from my mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed's seed from henceforth and forever, says the Lord. Isaiah 59:21. There is a covenant promise made by God that His word will never go away. It will never be lost. Not any bit of it. Not any bit of it. So, notice that when you seek to destroy the Word of God, what do you get instead? You get the Word of God with more words of God in it. Right? Yeah. Now, we're not told what Jeremiah wrote with those extra words. Maybe it had a name, Jehoiakim, in it. I don't know. But we cannot thwart the very Word of God. We cannot turn it aside. We cannot destroy it. No matter. The enemies of God will rise up from age to age and seek to destroy it. Satan began with the question, "Hath God said?" And his enemies, or those who are in league with Satan, the enemies of God, have been saying ever since that time, "Hath God said?" Or, "What hath God said?" Or, "Has He really said that?" Or, "Does it really mean that?" Or, "Does it really mean what it says?" Or, "I know what it says, but it means something else." Or, and fill in the blanks and keep going there. But we have this security in this passage that the Word of God will never pass away. What a great comfort for the Christian. We rest our lives upon the Scripture, upon what God has said. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart." It will always be that, because it will never go away. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with